Now, for the most part, the letters that I have gotten from Oz fans are different from the sort of letter I've been talking about so far. They tend to be a little more on the order of Rubenstein congratulating Heifetz on a good performance. You people are experts, and you read as experts, and your comments reflect this, of course. And it was a while before, that is, maybe 5 minutes after Merry-Go-Round came out, before Lynn and I discovered what experts you were. Now we know. In fact, we are not anywhere near as expert as you. As you read, you can't help thinking, are these new characters worthy to inhabit Oz? Do the old ones sound right? Do they behave the way they ought to? Are they the ones I know? Of course you do. And we try our best. We haven't always hit the mark, and I don't think that's possible. On the other hand, Thompson's books were really nothing like Baum's, and she is enjoyable to herself, as Baum was enjoyable. And we have to take a little freedom, or else you can't write at all, you know, in a real cage. But we do our best to stay within the bounds and to follow the rules and give no offense, because we do realize that our characters are invented characters and we ourselves are guests in a world that we did not create. And of course, this is partly the problem, our problem as writers. It's one that one must put up with when one is continuing on somebody else's invention. We have found you want experts wonderfully understanding and polite about your comments. Even when you object to our newfangled notions, you do it with great courtesy, and we appreciate that, with one notable exception. I'll get to the exception presently. First, let me give you some samples of some of the letters. Here is a charming one in its entirety. It's all one sentence. Dear Mrs. McGraw, I have had the pleasure of reading your books about Oz. I have found many others and read them all. I liked yours the best of all and wondered if you were writing any more Oz books. If so, I and many other children are glad. If not, I wish you would write some. There have been a good many like that, and I love them, of course. Now for some excerpts from longer letters. Here's Doug Green in 1980 commenting on the Ozish landscape. Now this is one of the Rubenstein to Heifetz type. It was while reading Forbidden Fountain that I suddenly realized what makes Merry-Go-Round and its successor different from the Baum, Thompson et al. Oz books: a greater sense of setting. Baum used setting often to be whimsical, RPT to make puns. For both of them, place was not very important for itself, with a few exceptions. But in Mary, you carefully set up the history and language and attitudes of Haladim and the fox hunter's country. In Fountain, you describe the insects, the plants and their names, the pebbles, the sounds of all sorts of invented spots. The result is a greater feeling that what is described actually exists, not merely to provide an excuse for a joke or an adventure. Now, I hadn't realized I was making the setting more specific and real than is usual for an Oz book, but a clear visualization of the scenery through which my characters are going is absolutely necessary to me when I'm writing any book. As I told Doug, for me, writing fiction is a great deal like watching a movie, an inward movie, a talking movie. And if the landscape starts getting foggy, my reaction is that it's a lousy movie, and I better get with it and do something about it, because I have got to see and hear what I put down. That's the way it happens inside me, and I'm not at all alone. I've heard many other writers saying this. I think this clear sense of setting is especially important in a fantasy, any kind of fantasy. It seems to me that fantastic settings have to be twice as real as real ones in order to seem real at all. And so that's what, and also, of course, Lynn and I, the way we do these things is to build a place or a a country or whatever, the same way you build a house, except instead of bricks we use details. And we get together and we say yes and it's this and yes and it's that. And they do this there and they do that. And by the time we get through and I'm at the typewriter, I'm so full of details. I know so much. And so it's all so fascinating that I have to get a lot of it in. So there's lots of details. But I'm sure that both Baum and Thompson, particularly Baum, envisioned his Oz settings very clearly indeed. Whether he put it all down in exactly the same way I do or not, I don't know. But I think he got it across, because I remember vividly, for instance, in Ozma of Oz, the Gnome King's kingdom, and that horrible giant pounding the path that really haunted me when I was a child. Think of imagining timing your rush to go under that. Just really haunted me for quite a while. It still does if I let it. And the caverns full of those hard gems and no other life, the chilly sort of repellent atmosphere of the place was very vivid to me. And I don't think that can happen unless it's very vivid to the writer when he's writing.